Okay, let's just pray as we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you for this amazing day. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, Lord, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, God. We thank you that we can rejoice in your presence, God. We can rejoice, Lord, in the fact that we have a relationship with you, Lord, that we can come to you boldly this morning, Lord, and with confidence because of the blood of your Son. And we honor you and we thank you, Lord. And this morning, commit this time to you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come as our teacher and our counselor, to come and direct us, Lord, and to show us your ways, Lord, to transform us. As we are in your presence and in your word, Lord, you transform us to the image of Christ this morning, God, in Jesus' name. We commit this to your glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I know there's not at least we have some parents here this morning, which is great. But also, I believe it's an interesting thing. You know, even I see there are some students around and some young working people and some married and unmarried. So we've got a very good representation. It's interesting, even before I was. Before I knew Arna, before I was married, I had a desire to have children one day. And, it's not something that, it's not, and the Lord really laid on my heart to pray for our children one day. And it was so amazing because, we get to know a little bit of God's heart around family and around His desire for us to be a family. Pastor Fred touched on that this weekend, and Pastor Cyril as well, about God being the Father God, and wanting to have a big family in the spiritual sense and also in the physical sense. And this morning I want to just touch around that a little bit. And if you read it all over the Old Testament, I'm just going to take one verse up there in Exodus 3, verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father. This is where the Lord speaks to Moses. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. There was a very important encounter just before. And now you have to all look that way when you read. Okay, sorry about that. Any case, we see all over the Old Testament, when the Lord kind of comes to people, introduces himself or speaks to someone, he says, I'm the Lord of Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's a very good reason for this. And we see the Lord saying, I'm a God of family, I'm a God of regenerations, I'm a God of grandfathers and fathers and sons and grandchildren, and I'm the God of multiple generations. And we see this so powerfully in the life of Abram specifically. The Lord comes to him you can read in Genesis 12 and 15 and on, where the Lord comes to him and makes a covenant with Abram, and he gives him incredible promises, amazing promises that are still relevant for us today, but about this incredible, huge, there's this nation that will come from him. I mean, he takes him outside and has him look at the stars and the sand of the sea, etc. And he gives us, and he says, the nations and the generations and the multitudes of descendants that will come from you, and we see how the Lord walks with Abram, and how Abram grows in his relationship with God and his trust with God, for God, and it's, but the amazing thing we see is that Abram doesn't really see the fulfillment of the promise. You agree with me? Abram only had one son with his wife, Sarah, and that was Isaac. And we see now how incredible was the faith of Abram, that he embraced the promises of God and embraced the commitment that God had given him, even though he only saw one son. And then we see Isaac, the son of promise, The one that Abram had to wait for so long. You know, this is the special one, the one from which the nations will come. And he marries a lady and she can't have children. You know, and it's this huge challenge. But still, God is faithful and she does bear children and they have two sons. So there's already 100% growth there. You see, it's incredible. And then, in economical terms, it's not bad. But then, so we have Isaac and we have Jacob and Esau. But still, you know, they don't see the nations and the they don't see the big, massive promise. But then Jacob, comes along and he has 12 sons, which is, you know, exponentially in the right direction if you're looking for nations. But what I'm saying is that God introduces him as this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the multi-generational God, the God of family, the God whose promise and whose purpose is not contained in one generation or in one lifetime. His promise to Abraham is too great to be only encapsulated in his lifetime. It spans beyond Abraham's lifetime. It flows over into that of Isaac and that of Jacob, and it continues. And it's so big that it cannot only be contained in one lifetime of one person. And there, from there, this incredible desire in us to multiply ourselves into other people and into our children specifically. We see in Deuteronomy 6:4-7, we see God directing the nation of Israel in this way. It says in verse 4:7, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your way, in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So we see this from the beginning, God saying, "Listen, guys, with this, whatever I teach you, whatever you experience, what you experience in relationship with me, I want you to pour out into the lives of your children. I want this to be a lifestyle of teaching and impartation. This must be something that's continually on your lips, continually in conversation, continually happening as you live. You are handing on something that you have received. You're passing it on." And it's a very powerful command when he says this is so important, this is so dear to God's heart, that he wants that everything that we receive we can pour out into someone else's life, into our children specifically. And then we receive very powerfully, he expresses this. In Malachi 2:15, piece of it, just in context about husband and wife, etc. And he says, "But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? But and why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth." See there, God seeks godly offspring. God is very serious about godly offspring, about godly children. Now if you're sitting here and you're thinking, this is not relevant to me, I'm not close to getting married, I want to say, please listen carefully. This is something that is so dear to God's heart, so important to Him. And if we can get a hold of this principle, it does not only apply to when we have our own children one day. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. But God desires godly offspring. And we see that in His instruction to Israel. Teach this stuff to your children. Pour this out into them. Everything that I've taught you, everything that I've told you, everything that you have seen and heard and experienced, teach this to your children. Let them grow up with it. Let them embrace it. And it's such a powerful picture. When the nation of Israel enters the promised land, they cross the Jordan River, and again, one of those amazing miracles, as the priests carrying the ark going in the front, as their feet touch the water stops upstream, and they cross over on dry ground, the whole nation. And the Lord instructs him to build a huge pile of stones, if I remember correctly, one in the middle of the river and one on the side. Huge pile of stones. Why? So that it would be a sign to the generations to come of what the God, what the Lord had done in that place. And I imagine this. I love to think about it. Now, you imagine this grandfather walking with his little, with his grandson next to the river, a little bit bigger than Christian, stealing the show this morning. walking with his grandson, and now the, and this little boy asks, "But Granddad, what are those rocks doing in the middle of the river?" And I'm like, "How weird is that? There's a huge pile of rocks. I mean, how did they get there?" And how powerful is that when the granddad says, "You know what happened that day? I was there when God brought us through this river, and He stopped the water upstream, and this is what happened, and this is how the Lord gave Jericho into our hands, and this is how we came through, and this is the instruction He gave us." And so powerful, because now that is a monument of God's faithfulness, and there's a transference of that what God had done to the next generation. And it builds faith, and it encourages, and it brings life. And that's exactly what God is talking about here. He says, "I want you to teach your children. Build monuments in your lives of God's faithfulness, monuments of His goodness, monuments of that when you talk about those years with your children, you can say that time God came through for us. That time, even long before you were born, or that, even when you were little, this is what happened, and God came through for us, and this is what He did, and this is how He provided, and He's faithful." And we see this incredible desire for God to have godly offspring, and Him saying, "Listen, everything that I give to you, everything that you receive from me, I want you to pour out into the next generation." That is such a big part of our destiny as on this earth. Big part of our mandate. And now I want to just quickly remind you of the important part of that Deuteronomy scripture. Okay? He says, "I want you to teach everything that I've commanded you, this command that I give you today, and everything that I've taught you, I want you to teach to your children." And He gives those examples, you know, when you rise up, when you go, when you, you know, coming in and out, and all those things. And now let's read from Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then, very importantly, they're teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see the similarities there. And this side of God we get to know in the New Testament, where the Lord says, "I'm not only serious about godly offspring in the Spirit, I'm very much committed to godly offspring in the Spirit." In the natural. Not only in the physical, but also in the spiritual. Not only does God desire godly offspring as we bring our physical children up, and as we teach them the ways of God, in the same way, God says, "I want you to bear children in the Spirit. I want you to make disciples. I want you to be a spiritual family, a spiritual home, a spiritual family where children in the Spirit, people can grow up in the Spirit and be taught and be nurtured and be, receive that same incredible impartation that you give to your earthly children, your physical children. In the same way, I want you to teach these disciples everything that I've commanded you." And we see this so powerfully in, a lifestyle of impartation and teaching. It's not a once-off here and there. God says, "This is my commission to you." In 1 Corinthians 4, 14 to 17, Paul writing to the Corinthians says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers." And he touches on a very critical thing in the body of Christ in those days, and so much more in our day. He says that there are many people wanting to teach and instruct, but we have very few fathers in the Spirit. And by implication, he's saying you need fathers, and you need to be fathers in the Spirit. You need to position yourself to be fathered and to be discipled, And at the same time, you need to position yourself to be a father and to disciple. To father someone in the spirit and to disciple them and to pour yourself out into them. And we see this so powerfully in the life of Paul. I haven't read the rest of that scripture. He says, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, this is such a powerful picture of this principle. Paul saying, I've begotten you through the gospel. In other words, he's fathered this congregation in the spirit. And they are his spiritual children. Now he's encouraging them. He says, I'm sending you another son of mine, Timothy, who's also my son in the spirit, whom I'm also his spiritual dad. And I'm sending him to you so that he can encourage you and he can remind you of my ways. And he says, imitate me. For this, you know, and in another place, it's basically saying, as I follow Jesus, I want you to follow me. As I imitate Christ, imitate me. So he's not making disciples of Paul, he's making disciples of Jesus Christ. He's not wanting to duplicate, you know, of himself. He wants to duplicate of Christ in him. Does that make sense? He wants to multiply the Christ that is in him, the nature of Jesus that is in him. And now he's sending his son in the faith. That's a powerful picture. To remind you of my ways in Christ. In other words, of my example that I set, of my the lifestyle. It's not something that only what I'm saying and what I'm teaching you, but of my ways, of the way I live and my example. Very much a lifestyle of impartation, a lifestyle of teaching, a lifestyle of this is Christ and being an example and a role model. We see the same in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. Well, very powerful picture here, verse 1. You therefore, my son, in writing to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay, do you see how this progression is happening here? You see Paul saying, Timothy, my son, you know, stand strong in the grace. And we need to look at that specifically because, as Pastor Fred was touching on again this weekend, last weekend, God gives us the grace to make a contribution. Because, you know, we see that he spoke of the covenant with Abram and how Abram had to have he had a very small part to play, but yet a very critical part. He had to chase the vultures away. Go and read that bit again in Genesis, I think it was 12 or 15, where he had to drive away that which was trying to steal from what was that very crucial and very very critical thing happening there between him and God, that covenant that God was cutting there. He had to chase away the vultures, the enemy that was trying to steal from that what was happening there, that was trying to rob and to kill and to destroy that what he does best. And so, and it's amazing how God recognizes that we have a desire, and that He gives us that desire to make a contribution, a desire to be a part of what's happening, and to play a role in the process. Okay, so, and He gives us the grace to do that. I can't go into depth now, but you please, when we put it on the web, please read, listen through those sessions from the camp. And He says, be strong in that grace. So again, this is not a works thing. This is not a striving, oh man, it's another heavy this morning at church. I have to be a father in the spirit. You know, how on earth do I do this? Where do I start? This just sounds like hard work, you know. And it is probably. But he says that it's only possible in that grace that we have received. So again, guys, this is not a striving thing. This is embracing the grace that God has made available to us to be a part of what he's doing, to be a part of him being the Father God and us being his children of this great spiritual family. But then we see this progression. We see that Paul writes to his son Timothy, his son in the spirit. He says, Timothy, the things that you have heard from me, commit these to faithful men. So he says, these incredible principles, this awe that I have poured out of myself into you. I've poured out my life. Another place he says, I'm pouring myself out as a drink offering. He says, all of myself I'm pouring into you, into my Son and the Spirit. Everything. And that takes time and effort, and it's not an instant thing. It's not a 5-minute conversation. This is years of, this is who I am, and everything I've received from God I want you to have, and I want to pour into you. Okay, that which I have, what you've heard from me, commit these to faithful men. In other words, identify people that you want to, that you are fathering and that you are pouring yourself into, and commit it to them. So this is not just something in passing. It's not something that happens randomly. It is a very, a very specific event where, well, not an event, but a process where he specifically says, I want to pour myself into this person. I commit this to you. I make this a commitment. There's a process that happens. There's a commitment is a good word there. Commit these to faithful men, and then very importantly, who will be able to teach others also. So from the start, he commits this incredible message and this pouring out of himself into this himself to men and to people, with the context of them knowing they will be teaching others also. Right from the beginning, the disciple that you are making and the child and the spirit that you are raising, you're doing that with that knowledge that they have an understanding, and you have the understanding that they will also be doing the same with someone. They have to also take that and pass it on. And now it's probably important that I say this is not an age-dependent thing. Okay? Because I see some of you are thinking, yuck, but this, you know... This sounds like a long process, and it is, but it's not age dependent. So if you are in a relationship with God and you have walked a road with Him and you have come to a place of maturity where you are busy imparting into others' lives, know that you are busy fathering in the Spirit, and do that with the knowledge that you're making disciples, and as you are fathering someone in the Spirit, father them in such a way that they can again be a father in the Spirit, that they can again, you know, raise up children in the Spirit and pour themselves out into someone. And again, also have that lifestyle of impartation and teaching. Are you still with me? But be strong in that grace. And we see such a powerful, in this verse 2, we see three generations of disciples, three generations of spiritual children. We see Paul, the grandfather, Timothy, the son. That's four, isn't it? Yeah. Paul, the grandfather, Timothy, the son, faithful men is the third generation, and then there's another one who will teach others also. So there's four generations there. Do I get it right? Very, very cool. And it's all in that grace that we have received, that is Christ Jesus. The challenge this morning is not a complicated one, but it's a crucial one. Is that the Lord desires godly offspring, and those of you that are in a season of children and almost having children and almost getting married, etc. I want to really encourage us that this is probably one of the biggest callings or biggest. Things that God entrusts to us, to raise up a child in the ways of the Lord, to raise up a child in the legacy that we have received. And I get so excited when, you know, Pastor Fred sharing about his sons and how blessed they are and how just the momentum that they have. It's, you know, that principle, Pastor Fred calls it the floor ceiling principle, I call it that, where the father pours himself into his children to a place where, in everything, even physically, even financially, and in so many ways, that the father's ceiling, where he reaches, that is his kind of his limit, becomes the floor of the children, of the sons and the daughters. That is where they start. And it's such a powerful thing, because the father runs, and he runs as hard as he can, and he does everything he does, and he pours himself out into the children with the knowledge that they will outrun him. that they will go farther than you can ever go. And it's the same in the Spirit. When you're pouring yourself into someone, expect that they're going to be better at it than you. Expect that there's going to be a glory to glory. There's going to be a multiplication of momentum. Sometimes we get upset, you know, you teach someone something, I don't know, maybe to play an instrument or to you take them to intercession for the first time, or you even, you know, in a spiritual context. And then when you look again, they're flowing in the Spirit more than you, or they are kind of almost overtaking you. And in a way, that is good, because you want them to go way beyond where you have been. There's that principle of where I'm going to go as far as I can, but my children in the flesh and in the Spirit, well, that'll be their starting point. They need to go way beyond. And we see that in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see that multiplication of momentum in the Spirit. We see that the blessings of the Lord kind of building up over the generations. And I want us to have that expectation. The road that I'm walking with someone, that what I'm pouring into them, they need to outrun me. I need to have that expectation that I'm not comparing myself with them. I'm not getting depressed when they do better than I do. I celebrate God's faithfulness. So as I pour myself out onto my children in the physical, I have this in mind. They're going to go way beyond anything I've accomplished. And now, what I was saying about Fred and his sons is that many of us grow up in imperfect homes. We have a lot of issues to work through, and we have to, receive God's healing in many areas. But our children will have not even half those issues, I believe, because they will grow up in godly homes. And from the start, we can get them going with the right foundation, and we can just, imagine the momentum in the Spirit, and that incredible, they have like that start that they have at the right foundation. And the same is true in the Spirit, that we can walk a road with people in the Spirit. And I'm so excited about the freshers coming in very soon on campus. I want to challenge us as a congregation. We're putting our faith out to reach many, especially the freshers and the students on campus. But it's going to take us to pray. And I wanted to encourage you to start praying now, to start praying for those new students coming in, those first years or freshers, as they call them here. To ask God, Lord, I want to raise someone in the Spirit. I want to be a father in the Spirit to someone. I want to walk a road with someone. I want to impart. I want to pour out myself into you. Even if I've only received a bit, I've only been walking with God for a year or so, that which I have received, I'm able to pour out into someone. And I want to challenge you to start praying now, praying for those people. Ask God, Lord, I want someone. I want to disciple someone. I want to father someone in the Spirit. I want to, as they come in, I want to be ready to receive them. You know, when the new people, whether it be a fresher or whether it be a family coming in to visit, I'm looking forward to the day where all of us are kind of saying, okay, can I reach them? Can I go? Can I get to them first before anybody else does? Because I want to walk a road with them. You know, I'm excited for the day when a visitor walks out of here, they got 5 dinner dates for the week and 3 coffee dates, and they don't know what has hit them, because everybody wants to build relationship, and everybody wants to know them, and everybody wants to be a part of the family. And I know that God wants to use this family feel and this welcoming warmth of a family to draw many hurt people in and to see us disciple them and to see them grow in the Spirit. And finally, in John chapter 15, verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. It's in that fruit that we bear. And many times this fruit is visible in others' lives. And that is glorifies God. That brings glory to Him. That lifts up the name of Jesus. And I always laugh at one stage. If anybody, Pastor Fred is our daddy in the Spirit, as in a certain way. But I walked a very close relationship with Pastor Sias, and And if people were joking with us, because we had a few of us that went to with Pastor Sears when he was ministering, because he was teaching us and he was pouring himself out into us. And then what people started to notice is that we do the same things that he does. We preach in a similar way, and we have faith for similar things. And obviously now it's changes over the years, but at one hand people were thinking it's not good, but on the other hand I was thinking it's so powerful, because you produce according to your own kind. That's how it works. If you know anything about farming, two sheep will not produce anything else but sheep. Okay. Any case, but the principle is that you as we follow Christ, we produce in the Spirit according to what we have in us. So be careful what you put into yourself. Be careful your diet in the Spirit. Know that you will produce according to the Christ that is formed in you, and that's what we want to produce. We want to produce disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. But this is the fruit, that fruit that we bear, even in our own lives, in the lives of our children, in the lives of the disciples that we make, that is how God is glorified, in the fruit that we bear. So I want to challenge us as a congregation, put out your faith. In your small groups, pray for the freshest, pray for new people coming into church. I know it doesn't look like it now, but I really believe God is positioning us to receive many that He wants to send. And we need to be ready. We need to be positioned to be fathered and to be discipled, but we need to position ourselves to be able to disciple. Amen. So pray, and I know God is going to send someone across your path that you can walk with, that you can build into. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's stand this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a daddy God, that you are a father God, that you want us to be a spiritual family, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that it's your desire for us to bear children, Lord, naturally in the physical, but also in the spirit, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you've given us that mandate, that commission, that to make disciples, Lord, and that you want us to be a spiritual family. Lord, this morning, I thank you for every person standing here under the sound of my voice, Lord. I thank you for your word for us this morning, Lord. I thank you that your word is incorruptible seed, God. And as it falls on the good ground in our hearts, we thank you for fruit. Good fruit, Lord. Fruit that will remain. Fruit in our lives. Fruit in the lives of others. And fruit that will glorify your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every one of us here, Lord, no matter how old or young we might be, or married or unmarried, or wherever, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a desire this morning to be fathers in the Spirit. Be parents, Lord, in the Spirit, to a desire to bear children, physical and spiritual. A desire, Lord, as is your desire for godly offspring. Lord, this is not something that we can do in our own strength, Lord. This is not something that we can just switch on and walk in it, God. And this morning we humble ourselves, God. We say, Lord, that you'd turn something, that you'd turn our hearts towards you in this area, Lord, that you would help us to walk in the grace that you have made available through your Son. That we might take a hold of that grace and that we might pour it out into someone else. That we might take that incredible love that we have so freely received, Lord, and love others in the same way. Lord, we thank you that you have made that grace available, Lord, and we embrace it, Lord. And we thank you for your anointing that comes with us, Lord, to anointing to bear fruit, Lord, anointing to make disciples, anointing to connect with people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we receive it, God. And I pray, Lord, we pray this morning for the freshers coming in to St. George's, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bring them before you, Lord, everyone. You know them by name. You know, Lord, even the families moving into this area. You know the people in this area, Lord, that are living here, that have been living here for years, God, that need to know you, God. And you know them by name. This morning we call them in the Spirit. In Jesus' name we say, let your kingdom come in their lives, God. Lord, I pray that you would open eyes and to see and open ears to hear in the Spirit, Lord. In Lord, that you would create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, Lord. God, we pray and we call them in, those that need to come and need to hear and need to respond in Jesus' name. We thank you that salvation will spring up like fountains of salvation will spring up in this area on a campus, Lord, and in many communities around this place, Lord, and in many homes, in the name of Jesus, that salvation will spring up like a fountain, that rivers of living water will flow, Lord, and we thank you that they will flow from our innermost beings, Lord, that we will be the conduits of this living water, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you put in us that urgency, Lord, to make our contribution, that urgency to chase away the vultures, and urgency, Lord, to partner with you, Father. Lord, and it's such a privilege, God. It's such a privilege, God. And we embrace it this morning in Jesus' name. God, and I pray that you know where every one of us is at this morning. I pray that you, with the grace that you've made available, Lord, you'd help us to position ourselves, Lord, to be discipled, Lord. Thank you for Bible school, Lord. Thank you for such an incredible opportunities that we have to be fathered, Lord, in Bible school and small groups, Lord, and spiritual growth series. So many places, Lord, that we can position ourselves, Lord. In the same way, I pray to you that give us the boldness to position ourselves to do the same, to impart into others' lives, God. Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you that the fruit that we bear will glorify your name, Lord. In Jesus' name. We lift your name in this place, God. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name.